Hey everyone, welcome to the Trading Success Podcast. I'm here today with David Moore from Club Capital. Super excited to be chatting to you today.
I'm really excited to be here too, Greg.
Thanks for joining us. We're going to be hitting off on the pandemic. We're going to go back and we're going to talk through what changed. You know, like how did the industry change? How did consumer behavior change? From all the statistics that Clipsal Snyder's been collecting from consumers, from contractors, from the industry. And we're going to dive into all of the different things that have happened to help you better understand what you can do. And if you haven't already started to implement some of the things that some companies have, you can jump onto that as well. And then we're going to dive into construction code changes, which are going to be mandatory from October this year. Is that right?
That's 100%, Greg.
All right.
And how, we go back to that journey, right? It wasn't that long ago where we had the pandemic. And we went through that process. Remember the panic buying?
Yes.
What happened there?
Yeah, toilet paper.
Goodness me, toilet paper. No bank, say?
Yeah, it was hard to get cable.
So crazy. And then we saw the fuel increase. I mean, for tradies out there, the cost of fuel really must have impacted some of our customers out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Your business? Yeah.
Yeah. And the people that didn't increase their price as a result of all of these, you know, marketplace increases just suffered in terms of like their profitability. You know, they're like, why can't I make profit anymore?
Yeah.
It's not that obvious. Like you're pricing every day the way you always did. But all of a sudden, you just can't seem to have money in the bank.
Yeah. And I know that at Clipsal and Schneider, we saw a real change in the digital journey for customers.
Yeah.
Becoming more savvy online, whether it's their purchasing behavior or even just, finding out about stuff, right? That digital journey piece become a big deal. But I guess if we think about the positive stuff about the pandemic, if you can say it was positive,
it's always positive.
Yeah, it's always positive. people were traveling overseas. They were locked down at home, so they spent more of their homes, right?
Yeah.
So really, we all saw the benefits of that and the growth we saw in the industry. After your customers the same group?
Yeah, I don't think we're expecting that either, were we? Like we're thinking, oh no, everyone's going to shut their wallets. No one wants to spend money on anything. And so they were starting to spend more money in their home because they're sitting around going, oh, that light's not working. This is not working. I want to upgrade my office at home and spend some money there. And so we're able to, you know, get some clients that we might have not otherwise got.
So I guess that journey is over now.
Yeah.
And now we've got another journey or this long effect that's happening where the rising cost of living.
Mm.
And our buoyant industry is starting to soften. Mm. Would you agree?
Yeah. And there's a lot of new businesses that have gone out in the last couple of years as well. And as an effect of that, there's more people doing the work. And so in combination with people who are, you know, not spending as much on their home, not building as much, trying to save money and the interest rate increase and an overflow of people in the marketplace in terms of contractors, it's a lot harder to win the work.
Yeah. And I guess consumers will ask for more quotes.
Yeah.
They won't pick the first sparky or first builder that comes along. So I guess that brings its own challenges as well. But if we focus on the cost of living, I guess the industry that we're feeling and the feedback we've got is we're still optimistic, right? Mm-hmm. So the industry still, most people are still very positive, still got lots of work. There are pockets around where people are starting to feel the pitch.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I guess in those areas, our industry, I love our industry. It's always positive. There's always things going on, and we're always quite optimistic. But in some areas, I guess some customers are looking for ways to drive more revenue or find more business. In that marketing sense, you know, in the past they might have purely worked on word of mouth for their business leads.
Yeah.
But today, I think. Some businesses start to look for other areas where they can grow their business.
Yes.
What we're finding is through that, digital journey, customers are getting more involved with online activities. We're running webinars regularly now, and we're seeing that a lot of customers are joining onto webinars where they wouldn't have in the past.
Yeah,
I guess that's the digital learning that they did through the pandemic.
Yeah.
But what's positive is some of those, like we run social media marketing, and through the club, we're getting large quantities of business owners coming on to learn that. So I'm like, and I guess that's about learning and finding new ways to market their business.
Yeah. I think with word of mouth marketing and just being told, I think it's happening less and less. I think people are communicating with each other less and less. They're relying on something like Google. They're relying on social media. They're making their own decisions and talking to friends less about, hey, who did you use for your electrician or your plumber or your, you know, chippy? So those conversations aren't happening as much at the pub or, you know, down at the local, you know, sports club so much anymore. And so the conversations are shifting. And so we need to get a way to be in front of these people. And I think what we teach as well is making sure that people understand is word of mouth's one, you know, channel to be able to get work. And that's just relying on repeat work and people telling other people and that work comes in. But then there's creating your own front as well. So it's the shop front and there's a digital shop front. And that's social media, that's Google, and it's getting up in front of people. And so that brings in new business that otherwise wouldn't have. And what's required there is making sure you've got a good, you know, social proof, which is like hearing it from a friend. It's your Google reviews, it's your Facebook page reviews. And then there's, you know, maximizing the value of the jobs you're getting as well, which we're going to talk about today. It's about not just going out and doing what they've asked, but also being the expert. You know, going out and recommending all of the different things you could do. You know, I jumped into the pool yesterday after my run and I was like looking around all these dead bits in my garden house, and we pay a gardener to come out and mow the lawn and whatever once a week. And I was like, if only they said, hey, can we stick around for another hour and pull all the dead bits out of the garden, I'd pay it. But they don't. And it's just they come and mow the lawn and they're gone. And now I'm getting annoyed because I've got dead bits in the garden. But if only they just talk to me about what level of service do you want? Gold, I'll do everything it takes to make your garden look good. I'll pay it, like, because I want my garden looking. So that's an example of how can we go above and beyond for our customers by maximizing the job. And then it's doing outreach to our existing customers, you know, helping generate the work. A lot of people don't email customers. They don't SMS the customers once they've paid them. So, you know, how do we bring out and nurture our customers back into the fold and continue to get work from them long term?
Yeah, so what you're saying, Greg, is there's lots of opportunities out there.
Yes.
Right, thanks. And whereas in the past you might not have tapped into those opportunities, you can, right?
Yeah.
It's there.
Totally.
So then maybe if we now talk about opportunities. So we've, in the last 3 months, surveyed 1,000 consumers.
Wow.
To try and see, you know, what's important to them in current, you know, what's front of the line,
yeah,
right. So out of that, so what we found was out of that 1,000, 88% were concerned about rising costs.
Yeah,
right. Okay. And you know, you reflect on yourself, right?
Yeah.
And I live in South Australia, and in South Australia, we've got one of the highest electricity bills, right?
Or yeah.
Electricity costs, energy costs. And yeah, I'm seeing it in my, it's affecting my budget, right? Mm-hmm. So it's affecting them. We know that in the last 12 months, the electricity over the last 2 years, the cost of electricity has grown by 50%.
Yeah.
It's been nuts.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's been huge. Nuts. So, and we're seeing other things like feed-in tariffs dropping. So in the past, you put solar on your roof, you get feed-in tariffs dropping. And and they're putting limits now on their export in that solar space. So you know, we need to be aware of what the consumer's feeling, because that brings opportunities. So the consumers are looking at ways of reducing their energy costs in the home, and energy efficiency becomes top of mind.
Yeah.
I know we've spoken about in the past, you know, what does that mean for the electrician, right? And it means, you know, when you're calling on mum and dad, if you're aware that these topics are very sensitive to them, you can position yourself in a way and explain as the trusted advisor, you know, what the opportunities are.
Yeah.
So Greg, in your business, what's some of the things that you find could bring benefits to the consumer?
Yeah.
And the initiative?
I think that's a great question. For us, it's always about, when you say we're the trusted advisor, to generate trust with a customer, we have to ask questions. I think a lot of people don't take the time to stop and try and understand the customer. Like, who is the customer? What do they like? What do they not like? Are they concerned about safety? Are they concerned about energy costs? Are they concerned about the aesthetics of their home? What are the things they actually want and need? Because if you go start pitching an idea to them around, hey, this is the latest technology, this is what you want, and all they care about is, you know, it looking good, then we can customize our, you know, conversation to be, hey, here's some great things that I've seen in other people's houses. Can I show you them? You know, we could have a conversation around that. If they say, I'm really concerned about my energy bill, can I show you how by putting LED downlights into your home, this is going to save you money in the long run, even though that you pay a little bit now, over the next couple of years, you'll be actually saving money in the long term. And that conversation then becomes, I'm helping you. This is a trusting relationship now where I've heard you and now I'm providing a solution. Whereas a lot of people might start saying, hey, I'm out of your house fixing this PowerPoint. Why don't you put some LED downlights and it'll save your power bill? And they'll be like, hey, well, I didn't ask you to come out here for LED downlights. And that's where people go, I don't like selling to people. Well, that's a hard sell. And that's not you having a conversation and bringing value to the client, you know? And so by asking questions, you can understand someone and you can be genuine about what your experience is and merge your experience with what they want. And that's when you can provide a solution, which is win-win. So if it's solar panels on the roof and the battery storage, then that's the solution and they're happy to pay for it because in the long run, it's going to save them money and that's what they care about right now. That's great. That's a win-win. So I think everyone needs to start to do that. And that's what we do at Response. Like, we are always trying to figure out what does the customer want and need before we recommend anything. Like, we wouldn't recommend anything unless they genuinely wanted to hear about it.
And I guess from a Plipsoll Steiner point of view, you know, it's our responsibility to make sure we give you the tools, right?
Yep.
So you know what products are available. So
yep.
Whether it's EV chargers, whether it's energy efficiency through Wiser with switches that can automatically turn off to save power, it's our responsibility to do that. And we're quite conscious of that. We've got a home magazine that we've developed, which is a magazine that you can pass on to your customer.
Yeah.
Which spells out those sorts of things, the energy efficiency in the home, which ticks that box about when you're asking that question, how do you explain that to your customer?
Right? Yeah, and we can print that out, or is there a booklet we can get posted to us?
Yeah, it's digital. It's on Clipsoll.com.
Yeah,
home magazine. If you search that out, and you're better off printing what you need, right? So
yeah.
You might decide to send it out digitally straight to your customer.
Yeah.
If you want printed, you could quite easily get it printed as well.
Yeah, I suppose you could just go to a printing, like Officeworks or something like that, and get it printed out as a book.
Yep.
And then have one in every vehicle.
Yeah.
And then your tradespeople could bring it in with them and flick through it and demonstrate and have a conversation with a visual guide. Definitely makes it easier.
And I think to your point, Greg, about asking the questions, I think, you know, having like checklists or showing the customer the dollar potential of saving is important too. So we have checklists and the like for customers, but you just about need to look at your individual customer, like you say,
yeah,
and look at their needs and what they want,
yeah,
and then you can really go away and say, okay, well, if we do this for you, it will save you this,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I think if you've got the arsenal in your car, like you've got the booklets, you've got the checklists, you've got your own version of your safety health check or whatever you do, then you can ask the questions like, what do you really care about? Who are you? And it could be very natural, this conversation. It doesn't have to be fabricated. Like, make it very natural. It's just like, hey, I noticed that I love what you've done over here. Like, how did you go about that? Oh, so you really care about this, do you? And it could be a very natural conversation when you practice it every day. As a matter of practicing and asking good questions with people. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And it becomes more and more fluid and people don't even know what's going on. Like, you're just extracting information. It's like, this is great. I'm better understanding because I'm asking genuine questions. And then you can go, oh, I've got this in my, I've got this checklist, you know, Club Clips or checklist. I'll go and grab it, bring it back. Here's the checklist. And then you go through and you can go through that. And that's a great way to connect with the customer.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the Australian Construction Code?
Yes, let's do that. Love the Construction Code.
Oh, yes. Can't wait to talk about that. So, yes, there's changes to the Construction Code, and they come, like you said, they come into play in October this year. The key in there is the 7-star neighbours requirement, right, which is around energy efficiency in the home again, right? So energy efficiency is coming up everywhere, right? So that's key. In that code is it explains some of the requirements now for new homes. And some of those requirements are things like ceiling suite fans. In certain parts and regions of Australia, you were required to put in ceiling suite fans, a minimum number or a quantity. And also the size of your room, the size of the fan that's required.
Yeah.
And the number in that room.
It's mandatory. Is there a table that shows like size of your room and how big the fan needs to be?
Exactly right. So if you go into this Australian Construction Code, it has like a picture of Australia and it has the regions that is mandatory.
Yeah. Right?
And then to your point, it then goes into those regions, the requirements, you know, mm-hmm. Certain square meterage size of room.
Yeah.
You need to have this size fan of this many.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a really a big addition for some parts of the industry. Right?
So is this something to have the fan turn on to reduce the use of air conditioning?
Is that exactly right?
So would they be thermostat driven? Like Wiser has a thermostat switch.
It's not mandatory.
Yeah.
To do that, but you could factor that in.
As it goes over a certain temperature, it turns on the fan automatically.
Yeah, you could go down that track.
Yeah,
and that would be pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
But I think today it's really trying to get people to use their fans so the air conditioning isn't so full on, especially in the evening, right?
Yeah,
and sleeping, for instance. Mm-hmm. That's the aim or the game, I guess.
Yeah.
Some of the other things in the construction code changes are around runoff timers for bathrooms, for instance. There's a requirement in there. But one of the big ones is around EV again, right? So electric vehicles. And that's more apartments, office buildings, and the like. And again, in there, it stipulates the requirements. In some areas, it's mandatory to have the facility to add EVs in the future.
Yeah.
So you can't just build a new multi-story apartment without the consideration of the EV.
Yeah, so you need to have provision for the loading and the switchboard or something like that.
Yeah.
So you've got future, so you have to upgrade the whole mains and the switchboard just to put some EV guys in the future.
Exactly right. And so it's EVs. We're finding EV in our business is a big growth area, right?
Yeah.
So our range, if we just do a bit of a chat about our range, we've got a residential EV charger and we've got a commercial one. If we just touch on the Resi one, it's available in a single phase 3.7 kilowatt and 7.4 kilowatt and three phase 11 kilowatt. For those who haven't installed one out there, they're pretty simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ours, you need to put an RCBO in your switchboard. mains cable, a cable feed to the location.
Yep.
And you wire it up. So it's no different to doing a heat pump or an air conditioner.
Yep.
One thing I will say that we've got and a lot of interest is we have a device that hooks on to that you can buy if you as an add-on, which monitors the power of the home.
Mm-hmm.
So what you don't want to do is in the middle of the day when the sun's out and you've got your air conditioner on, for instance, running flat out, and then you put your EV charger in and you've plugged it in.
Same time.
Yeah. Bulb happened, great.
Yeah.
Could overload, right? Yeah. So we have a device that actually works with the EV charger to back that off. So
you don't variable B drive.
So yeah, so you limit the it'll limit the power into the vehicle.
Yeah.
In doing so, you don't go over that maximum demand.
That's a load management system.
Yeah. So pretty cool.
Cool.
And then, of course, we've got the commercial range, which has all those facilities built in.
Yeah.
So EVs are becoming big, and quite a focus in that neighbours, and changes to that construction code.
Yeah, nice one. Cool.
Cool.
Very cool. Hey, just before we wrap up today, I'd like to find out what are some other things that consumers and contractors are saying from your experience. So you're obviously talking to a lot of contractors. So what are some other things that are coming up at the moment? Because for us, we've done a lot of analysis. We've talked to a lot of people every single day. I deal with everyone's problems every day. So I'd love to know what's coming through to Club Clipsal in terms of challenges, market changes, anything like that. That's been just common conversations.
What we find with consumers is one of their key areas that they're really, when they think about electrical, it's aesthetics.
Yeah.
Right? Aesthetics are a big deal to them. Traditionally, in our industry, it's always been a bit about just the white bit of plastic on the wall, right?
Yeah.
But consumers, they want to hear about aesthetics and products that fit that aesthetics.
Yeah.
So as you're probably aware, we launched a outdoor aesthetic PowerPoint, right? Sounds pretty basic, but the take-up of that's been unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
So rather than just talk about white plastic, it's an aesthetically pleasing type product.
Yeah.
We call that our iconic outdoor.
Yeah.
And as you know, we've got iconic indoor, which has got all those ranges of aesthetics, which are important. So we know the consumers focus on aesthetics. So you can imagine in the background, we're looking at offers and ways to improve that.
Yeah. Well, even with aesthetics, like a simple thing that we do at Response, which is if a switch is broken, we replace it with Iconic. And we say, how do you like the new Iconic switches? These are the new ones. They're the standard, Clipsal Sinus switches now. And then they say, these look great. Would you like me to change your PowerPoint and the other, the two PowerPoints to match for this room? And so we actually do one room that's new, so it all matches. So now they feel they feel like,
very good.
If we're going to come into the room, I don't want that switch looking different to this switch. So if you could do this one room for me, that would be great. And this is leading back to that, would you like me to? Here's the new switch. Would you like me to do the other switches in the room as well? It will be X amount of dollars, but at least all the switches will match. We do one room, and guess what happens?
Yeah, you get the whole house.
They're like, I love this. I love this. Can we do the whole house? And so that is something we do, which is adding value to our clients. They love it. Like, we're not selling to them. We're not like, hey, you need to buy this. It's not a nasty car salesman pitch. It's literally, here's the new switches. Do you like them? Yes, I do. Would you like me to put them in the whole room so they all match? Yes, please. And then it leads to future extra work. And that's an example of, how do we maximize the value of the jobs we go to for our existing clients? And I always talk around this example of when you go to JB Hi-Fi to buy a new TV, you don't feel angry at the salesperson because they show you the coolest TV there. You're like, oh, that's great. And you walk up and you come home with a 75-inch let's go, with all the mounts and some Sonos speakers. And it's like, you don't get angry about that. You tell your friends about that. You're like, check out my new TV. I've got the Sonos. It's so cool. But if you go in and you buy like a 40-inch TV with no salesperson helping you, you don't tell your friends about that. It's just a little tiny TV, which used to be big, but it's a little tiny TV, right? Yeah, and you don't go off and tell your friends about that. Even though they spend money, it's not an experience they're going to tell their friends about. But if you, when people stretch what they're expecting to spend, sometimes they get excited by that. They want to reinforce they've made the right decision, so they tell their friends, and you get referrals. So you add more value to someone's house, and they want to tell their friends about you. So yeah, it's just a natural thing that can happen when you put the blocks together in the right way.
And that referral piece, again, I guess, is opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about the pandemic earlier in the discussion and how everyone is becoming more digital.
Yeah. Right?
So referrals are a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And if you've come up with a solution that a customer's really happy with and you get that referral, I mean, that's future business, right?
Yeah.
So I get it.
Wow.
I like it. I like it. Very
totally. Cool.
All right. Well,
thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's been awesome as always. Great.
Cool.
And, really enjoyed having a bit of a chat and thinking about how the world's changed so much just recently.
Yeah.
And, but whenever we have change, brings opportunity. I just need to be aware of that.
Yeah. Hey, Response Electricians, part of Club Clipsal. You guys should too. Go sign up. Catch you guys soon.